as we continue talking about purity in the Word of God, I thought it would be very, very apropos to study what a true love story is all about. Now, how many of you have been to the wilds of North Carolina? Let me see your hands. Sweet. Well, you know, I had the privilege of being there for 30 years. Let me tell you some of the things I would do. After chapel or Christian Life Seminar, while you guys were rushing off to your activity, sometimes I'd walk around straightening up chairs and I would find little notes all over the place. And I knew a bunch of you had been there, so I thought I would share these notes with you, some of them that I found at camp. And if I have one that you happen to write, please let me know and I'll make you a copy, okay? Somebody dropped a little card with a teddy bear. These are real love notes I found. Caroline, it's falling apart. I love you. I'm so sorry. I've been so grouchy today. I do love you so much, sweetie. You will always be the love of my life. I can't wait till someday when we'll always be together. Please forgive me for being such a big, mean, grouchy bear. I know I'll be your teddy bear. I love you. Ah. Okay, let's see. This is kind of nice. This, girls, if the guy takes this much time, you can't see it from there, but it says, I love you. But then when you open it up, it splits that in half. Dear Lisa, this week I have grown to love you more than I have ever loved before. I love you. After the last 4 days, I have realized, in bigger letters, I love you. Even though we won't be able to see each other face to face, there will always be a special place in my heart for you. I love you. I just wanted to leave you with this goodbye poem to show you I love you. Ready? Roses are red, violets are blue, and your eyes are too. By the way, if you're really desperate, Richard, 1385 at AOL.com. Oh, my. Okay. This is cool. I'm going to tell you the truth. I really didn't like you at first. I asked you out on a bet. But when I did ask you out, I really fell in love. I don't blame you if you never speak to me again. Aaron, hey, I just wanted to thank you right now for letting me wear your beloved bracelet. I really like your bracelet. In Virginia, we don't have jewelry like that. You seem really nice. Feel free to email me with love, Aaron. Oh, these are great. Kevin, if you look real closely, you can see they even use red marker. K is for the kindness that you show me every day. E is for your eyes that I could stare into all day. V is how very special you are to me. I means I love you with all my heart and soul. It's supposed to rhyme. N is for the never-ending love we'll always share. Put them all together, they spell Kevin. Aww. Okay, have you ever been to service and like you wrote a note to somebody and then they wrote back? You've never ever done that, but I found these two. Dear Marlene. There's this really cute guy two rows in front of us. He's got blonde hair and he's got really cute ears. I can't see his face, but I'm sure he's really cute. Let's go up to him after chapel, okay? Can you believe Katie? She's got the phone number of every guy she came across. Ooh, I gotta go. My counselor just looked at me. Love, Steph. Dear Steph, you're right. I can see him and his cute ears. Meet me by the door so we can talk to him. You're right about Katie. She is such a flirt. She thinks she's so good, but none of the guys in our church like her. Hello, she's too ugly. I like James a lot. I thought he was the only one for me, but now I like Dan. I don't know what to do. They're best friends. Help me choose which one I like best. You girls are so weird. You can't see it, but I got pencil and purple pen. So what is the answer in pencil? No, in pencil. So what is the answer, yes or no? Purple pen. To what? Pencil. If you like me, please say yes. Purple pen. Why? Pencil, because I like you. Purple pen. I don't know. I'm kind of having problems right now. Okay, one more. This one's kind of sad. At the top, it says, please still love me. Julie, I feel lonely now. I miss meeting you after every class. There's usually a warm spot in my stomach when I see you. Sounds like he's nauseated to me. But now I only lost you because of the words of others. I really do love you. I wish you knew. My heart is aching since you broke up. It might sound stupid, but it's true. I loved every minute that we were going together, but I don't blame you for wanting not to kiss an ugly thing like me. You've taught me a lesson I'll never forget, but it's too late now. I'll quit writing you because I know you don't love me anymore. I will leave you to yourself, but my heart will still yearn for you. Please don't ever forget me. Thank you for everything. I love you, and I always will. I love what we had. I love you forever. Yours. I love you. Love, Dave, all together. Aww. Guys, what happens? You're 13. You have a birthday party. You blow the candles out as the smoke dissipates. No longer do girls have cooties, but they become cuties. Yeah. You guys quit the Boy Scouts and join the Girl Scouts. I mean, it's just the way it is, okay? And it's just part of life. So when it comes to true love, pleasing God with patience and with purity, what I want us to do is dig into the Word of God in Genesis 24. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And we're going to see what God says about choosing a life partner God's way. Now, when I say choosing a life partner, it could be dating, it could be courting. I kind of combined the two and call it dorting, okay? But whatever it is you call it, what is it that we need to know, okay? Genesis 24, verse 1. Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I'll make you promise or swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife to my son Isaac. Now, things in the Old Testament are done quite differently, okay? And we had this big promise, and the servant oftentimes would find the wife for the future one. So, one of the first questions is, when can I start? And if I ask you, I'd probably hear things like 16, 17, 12. I'd probably hear everything, okay? When can I start? Isaac was 40 years of age during this. So biblically, you have to be 40 before you take your first date. And dads all say amen to that one, yeah. When can I start? Number one, when you are aware of the benefits and the date and the benefits and the problems with the whole series, the whole thing, okay? Because there's great, great benefits. You get to know people, get to know if they're like-minded, want to do the same thing in life. But there's also some consequences. You're aware of them. Because you know as well as I know, for one stupid 15-minute thrill, you can scar your life for the rest of your life. You say, Rand, but God forgives. I know he forgives. But you guys don't forget. And you add regret after regret after regret in your life. So you're aware of the benefits and the joys of the whole process, but it can have great consequences. Number two, when can I start? When you personally have sat down and written out your own Bible dating standards. What do I mean by that? Girls, before you ever would say yes to anyone, what you do is you write down the kind of guy that I'll date and marry someday. He must be a Christian. He must be a growing Christian. He must have strong convictions about the physical relationship. He must love the Word of God. You just write it out. Guys, before you ever even begin this process, you sit down. The kind of girl I will date and marry someday, she must be a Christian and know how to cook. She must be a growing Christian and really know how to cook, okay? Everything that's important to you. I was getting gas at a gas station in North Carolina when I lived down there. A girl walked up to me. She goes, are you Brother Rand? I go, yeah. She said, thank you for my husband. I said, what? I'd never met this girl. She told me the story. She graduated high school, got a job, met a guy, and they started talking at work and all, found out they were both Christians. So they went out on a date, and they really liked each other. The second date they went out on and went out to eat, when they walked into the restaurant, they sat down. He said, by the way, and he holds up this paper, and he said, these are my dating standards. If we break these standards, we immediately break off our relationship. She said, I knew exactly that was the kind of guy I'd want to spend the rest of my life with. And he had been somewhere where I had preached a message similar to this and wrote out his dating standards. Don't wait until you're in the midst of it to make your choices and decisions. Draw your lines. The kind of guy I'll say yes to, the kind of girl I'll ask out. When can I start? When you're aware of the benefits and the dangers of the whole process. And number two, obviously you've written out those standards. Number two, what part do my parents play in this? You see, Abraham was so consumed with finding the right wife for his daughter, Isaac. Back in the Bible times, dad picked out your life mate for you. Don't you wish it was still done that way today? Some of you are going like this, some of you are going like that. Could you imagine guys waking up one Saturday morning and saying, Dad, what are you going to do today? Son, I'm going to go find you a wife. Can I go, Dad? No, son. You stay here and pray. Oh, I'll pray, Dad. I really will, okay? Now, obviously, we don't do it the same way today, but you have to keep in mind that your parents, get this, your parents love you. You say, you have not met my mom, because when she screams at me, I heard her screaming today. Yeah, we live 3 hours from here, but I know it's her, I'm sure. Even when they're upset, it's, I love you. That's what they really say. They really do care. Parents only get one shot at being a parent. It's tough sometimes to explain it. And then when they do say something that you don't like, you get like an attitude and that freaks them out a little bit. So keep your parents involved. Listen to them. This whole thing about children, obey your parents, it's Bible. But Rand, I'm 17. Honor thy father and mother. It's Bible. God never ever promises to bless disobedience. And if mom and dad say, I want you to be 16, I want you to be 18, if you do like our home, you have to wait until college to do the dating thing, you obey mom and dad. You don't sneak around and pretend that nothing's going on. You listen and obey mom and dad. Again, God never ever promises to bless disobedience. What part do my parents play in this? Make sure you keep them highly involved. Does my future partner need to be saved? Now, this is interesting because we read here that Abraham sent Isaac to find a wife for, or send a servant to find a wife for Isaac. He said, but don't go where the unbelievers are. I want you to go for my people, those who believe in Jehovah God. Does my future partner need to be saved? Definitely. Why? Because God wants the best for my life. Say it with me. God wants the best for my life. Say it again. God wants the best for my life. Just the girls. Just the guys. Just the guys sounding like girls. God wants the best for my life. Just the girls sounding like guys. That's bad. One more the right way. God wants the best for my life. He really does. He doesn't want you to end up in divorce. He doesn't want you to marry somebody who's going to cheat on you or blow their mind on porn or reject you. God wants the very best for you. And we see in these passages in Deuteronomy and 2 Corinthians, you date and then fall in love and marry an unbeliever. Get this, look at me. They're going to pull your heart away from God. They are. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A yoke is a great big wooden thing. It would go over the head of two oxen. They push against it to pull the plow or the wagon. But if you put an ox on one side and a squirrel on the other side, we got problems pulling the plow. You put a Christian on one side and a non-Christian on the other, we got problems. Here's why. Because the non-Christian can only please self. They're unbelievers. The Holy Spirit does not live within. But the Christian can please God and self. And they pull your heart away from God. They start by pulling your heart away from your mom and dad. I'm not kidding when I say every single time. When I have parents call me and say, Rand, help us. We have a son. We have a daughter that's in just utter rebellion. You know what my next statement is? What's the boyfriend's name? What's the girlfriend's name? Every time. Because you just so badly want to be loved and accepted that you're willing to tell God, no, I'm going to do it my way and disobey mom and dad in this whole process. Does my future partner need to be saved? Hey, think of this, by the way. You're dating a guy and he's a good guy. He's not a Christian. You marry him. You have a couple kids. You've been married for about 4 years, and so you're getting the kids up one Sunday morning, getting them ready for Sunday school, and they're crying. They don't want to get out of bed, and your husband walks in and says, listen, I have never put a lot of pressure on you about this church thing. But I'm telling you, you're not going to force it on the kids. You want to go? Go. You leave the kids out of this. And so now you have a life of anguish in your heart that you're not even allowed to take your own kids to church. When God says don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, he means that. And you can never have the relationship that you would love to have without that. Next question, should I pray about this? Look it down at our text again. This is in verse 12. And the servant said, O Lord God and my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Should I pray about this? Definitely. Why? Because God wants the best for my life. Say with me, God wants the best for my life. So why wouldn't you want to go to God and say, Lord, please lead me to the right guy, the right girl that I can marry, that we can serve you, serve you together for the rest of our lives. You should be praying about your future partner every day. Say, I am trying to figure out who they are. No, like I said before, they could be in this room. They could be. But I will say this, whoever they are, they're probably teens, maybe college right now. Look at me. Girls, those guys are going through the same temptations and struggles that we talked about the first hour. Same pressures that all of us go through. Guys, the girl that you're going to marry someday is probably close to your age. And there's guys trying to come on to her and trying to persuade her to be involved physically. So you know what you ought to do every single day of your life? When you have your special private time with God, and I hope you do, you should pray something like this. Lord, I don't know who I'm going to marry, but you do. Would you please protect them today? Keep them pure. Help them to stay away from the trash and the internet. And keep them away from wrong guys and girls. Please, Lord. Protect them, keep them pure, and I'll stay pure for them. And then that day comes when you're standing at that marriage altar face to face, knowing that God answered your prayer. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Should I pray about this? Definitely you should. So, next question, what can I do to get the right kind of partner? This is normally where everybody starts taking notes, okay? Look at verse 15. It came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. Verse 16, and the damsel was fair to look upon. What can I do to get the right kind of partner? Number one, stay sharp physically. Now, she came from God's people. That's what that verse meant. But it says she was fair to look upon. You know what that means in the Hebrew? I mean, she looked fine. She looked good. Now, come on. Be honest. Nobody wants to date and marry somebody who looks like they ran through the ugly forest and never missed a branch, okay? Is there, gag. Well, I guess I have to marry him. No, stay sharp physically. Take care of yourself. And by the way, I'm not just talking to you girls. Guys, come on. Push-ups, pull-ups. Make the girls think you have more than just a mosquito bite on the arm. There really is a muscle up there. Take care of yourself. It shows that you have discipline. It shows that you really, really care. Stay sharp physically. With that in mind, I'm going to throw this in for all of you. Let the arrows of your fashion point to your face. Now, how many of you, a lot of you are in churches, schools, a lot of you are spending time in Christian schools, and you got rules and regulations and all this. Just for a second, bulldoze all this stuff out of your mind, and I want you to take this one. It's a biblical thought. Let the arrows of your fashion point to your face. Girls, you need to dress in such a way that when a guy looks at you, his attention is immediately drawn to your face. It is through your eyes and smile that they see your countenance, that they see what your heart is all about. And the countenance all the way through Scripture often depicts what's going on in the heart. If you wear things that are too tight and too low and too short, and you're always drawing attention to other parts of your body, it's improper. And girls, I got to tell you, if you get a guy through physical means, you get a physical guy. Is that what you want? Who's going to keep on looking even after you, quote unquote, capture him? Let the arrows of your fashion point to your face. You dress in such a way that they can look right immediately in your eyes and know that you really, really care. So I was preaching this one time at camp. I was running the giant swing, and all of a sudden I heard my name. Ran. Six girls come running out of the craft shop. They all had T-shirts, new ones they had just bought, and they painted arrows on them, front and back and on the arms, pointing to their face. I don't mean you go home, take yellow paint, and put stripes on. Okay, I think you got what I'm saying. You want to stay sharp physically. That's important. It really is. But the second part is to stay strong spiritually. Stay sharp physically. Stay strong spiritually. Girls, that's all you have to do. That's it. You don't have to flirt. You don't have to tease. You don't have to take things into your own hands. You don't have to give your body away just to get a guy to like you. Stay sharp physically, stay strong spiritually, and then trust God to bring the right person into your life. If we look at our text again, verse 16, damsel was fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hurried and let down her pitcher upon her hand, gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels also till they have done drinking. And she hurried and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Is this a big deal? Yeah. We see in another verse there were 10 camels. A camel, this kind of camel, get this, can drink between 35 and 50 gallons of water in 1 hour of time. If this girl did everything she could, she spent over an hour dipping between 350 and 500 gallons of water. And you complained because mom asked you to empty the dishwasher. So what do we learn by this? Guys, you stay away from selfish girls. Yeah. Because they're selfish now 2 years before you marry them, they'll be selfish 2 years afterwards. Be a miserable life because everything's about her. Girls, stay away from selfish guys. If everything is their desire, what they want, and they don't even care what you want, you run as fast as you can away from them. Okay? When does selfishness reign in a dating relationship? Again, I have no idea about any couples in here, okay? But it normally becomes king in the couples who are going together, going out, talking, etc., okay? Do you ever think about why teens love to go steady or steadily date some person? Two different reasons, one for the guys, one for the girls. Girls, you probably didn't know this, but guys have egos this big, okay? And they like to be in control, and this is my woman here, okay? That's just how they kind of feel. Now, girls on the other side, oh, they just love to be loved, and they love to have security. And they always have a boyfriend, and everybody thinks they're pretty and smart and all this stuff because they have a boyfriend, somebody like them. And then as one girl wrote, she said, Rand, why is it, even when I date the good guys, after 3 or 4 months, they always become grabby jerks? Here's what happens. When you start dating, and then you begin to steadily date, you get this stupid idea like you own each other. You don't. Okay, but you think that way. You think, I'm in control, and whatever I say, she has to do. And then he puts the pressure on this girl to be involved physically, and oh, they're not going to go all the way, but they want to be involved physically, and she doesn't want to. And then she's afraid to say no because he's going to get mad, and he's going to get upset, and he's going to break up. And so many girls sacrifice their purity to hold on to the security. Don't be so foolish. And any guy that insists on being involved with you physically before marriage, look at this, look at me, they don't love you. Say, Rand, you don't know. Yes, I do know. They don't love you. Why? Because if you truly, truly love somebody, you'll never, ever do anything to hurt that person. Got it? So, be unselfish. And remember where you put the clicker. That's number 3, okay? Guard your virginity and purity. Did you notice in that passage says she was a virgin. That is a good word for guys and for girls, okay? A virgin. You're committed. You want to keep yourself and save yourself for that one person on a special wedding day. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift to give to them. I was counseling one girl. She's a junior in high school, public high school. She said, oh, man, it's so hard sometimes at school. She played volleyball for the school. She said, they mock me. They call me the virgin just because I refuse to sleep with a guy. I can be walking down the hall and a seventh grader go by, go, hey, virgin, they mock me with this. She said, the other night, volleyball practice was over, and I don't know why, but they really were on my case. She said, I shouldn't have got angry, but I kind of did. And I turned, but this is what I said to them. Would you guys please stop? Anytime I want to become like you, I can. But anytime you want to become like me, you can't. Teens, understand the precious gift of virginity that you have. Guard your virginity and your purity. How do you do this? Avoid hanging all over each other. Do you ever see these couples, and every time they get together, they got to be bumping elbows and holding hands, and, oh, yeah, I thought my new cheek. They're just always touching, you know? When they ride down the road in a car, if you're driving behind them, it's scary. They're sitting so close, it looks like one body and two heads. It's just, ah! Here's the problem. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Avoid the appearance of evil. When you do that in public, come on, we know. Your friends will say, whoa, if they do that in public, we know what's going on in private. And your testimony is shot. So avoid hanging all over each other. Number two, refuse to make out. Refuse. Refuse. Say no, 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 no! Learn to say no. It was the first word you said when you were a baby. No. Well, don't forget it when you become a teen, okay? Refuse to make out. So I normally get asked this question, how far can we go? Can we hold hands? Can we squeeze each other's hands while we're holding hands? Can I put my arm around her, you know, and flick her dandruff if that's okay, huh? Can I snuggle up close to him? Can I lay my head on his shoulder? Can I give her a little kiss up on the cheek? Just way up here, not near the, just way. I don't mind the taste of clear still, really. Can I give a kiss just way up there? Can I give a kiss on the lips? Wait, stop! You can't answer the question, how far can we go? Here's the question that you ask, how pure can I be? How pure can I be? Actually, God gives us the answer very simply in these passages. It's only two words. How far can I go? Here's it. Here it is. Ready? Two words. No lust. That's God's answer to how far can I go. Can we watch this movie? No lust. Evil, sensual desires that God never intended you to fulfill, okay, outside of marriage. No lust. And don't, you're not crazy. You guys know when you get around certain people and see, you know when the lust like starts to take a hold. So if you went to hold a girl's hand, you think, oh. Ah, let go. Let go real quick, okay? Understand the simple principle of no lust can save you from a lot of hurt. Do not allow premarital sex. Do not allow. You say, Rand, this is a Christian group here today. You need to be careful. I'm just sharing with you what God says. Could you go quickly to 1 Corinthians 6? I think this is cool how relevant the Word of God is to help us with even these tough things, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this kind of really helps us in this area of, of dating and so forth. Verse 15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now, I'm only speaking to Christians here. If you're not a Christian and you do not know Christ, that means the Holy Spirit does not live within. And this, what I'm explaining now may be hard to understand. Then he goes on to say, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? A prostitute? God forbid. God says no. Verse 18, flee fornication. There's the word flee again. Run, porneia is a Greek word for fornication. Run from all sexual sin. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What does this mean? It simply means you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. Say it with me. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. We'll set up a scenario here. You're a junior in college. You're a girl. We'll pick on the girls for illustration's sake. You're a junior in Bible college, and I hope you pray about going to Bible college. This is huge. You say, I can't afford it. God can. Watch him supply for you, okay? Visit these different colleges and stuff. This is an important decision in life, okay? But you're a junior. During your junior year, girls, you meet him. Now, you know who he is. You've been dreaming about him since, like, fourth grade, okay? He's a nice guy. He's good looking. He's a good athlete. He loves the Lord. And so you start spending a lot of time together, and you finally call home, tell mom and dad. And so your parents conveniently make a special weekend to come down and visit. And you're really nervous about dad meeting him. And so you go out to eat Friday night and hang out, and Saturday afternoon your dad comes to you and said, you know, this guy is great. He loves the Lord. You have my blessing. Let's see what God will do. You say, yes! Now, Christmas is coming. He lives in the Midwest, and so you're going to fly out to meet his family over Christmas. And you're really scared about meeting his mom. Will she like me and all this stuff, okay? When you get there, within a day, it's almost like you and his mom have been friends forever. It's Christmas Eve. You just finished supper. You get done eating, and mom and dad say, hey, we'll do the dishes. You kids want to go talk, you know, that's fine. So when you walk into the living room, now remember, it's Christmas Eve, 14 and a half inches of snow outside. Frosted snowman's leaning down, waving at you. We got a fire in the fireplace, a little Johnny Mathis Christmas music going on here, okay? I mean, this is like and you're sitting there, and a guy walks in with two cups of hot chocolate. I mean, mint hot chocolate. Everything is perfect. And he does. He walks up to you, and he hands you that chocolate. And you take the chocolate, and then he says, you know, I've dreamt about this day. And I really do love you, and I'd love to spend the rest of my life with you, so I want to ask you a question. You're thinking, yes, yes. Ah! He's going to ask me to marry him. Ah! What does the ring look like? I'm going to put it on Facebook. Ah! I can't wait. This is so much fun. But you don't want to spill your chocolate, so you just sit there and go, And then he says this, but before I ask you, I do have something I need to say that's really important to me. You see, all the way through high school, I went to Christian high school, but we had these girls in our school that were just, they're wicked girls. And it was their game to see how many of the guys they could get to sleep with them. I want you to know I stayed away from those girls. I have kept myself pure for you. Have you done the same for me? The problem is, the summer after your senior year in high school, you got a job working at a restaurant to earn money for college, Christian college. And there were guys there that you got to be friends with, some of them not saved. And one night you went out for coffee with one of the guys who's unsaved. He's a nice guy, but he wasn't a Christian. There's nothing to it. And something, when another night came up and you end up visiting his apartment, and you went in, you slept with him. You never told anyone. You've already asked God to forgive you like 1,000 times. But now you're sitting in front of this guy that you would love to spend the rest of your life with, but you know you got to be honest with him. You also know this is so important to him. He may not just get up and walk out of that room. He may get up and walk out of your life. I'm telling you guys, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. Would you look at those last two verses? What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? That next phrase, you're not your own. Christian, your body is not your own. Christian, your body is God's. You don't mess around with sex and drugs and alcohol. It's God's. It's been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Man, this is important. Why is it important to wait until marriage? What is the big deal? Okay. One more illustration. Pick on the girls again. It's the night of your very first date. You're 37 years of age, and you're really excited about this. Your boyfriend's been saving his paper route money for about 25 years now, so he's got lots of money. He borrows his dad's car and comes and picks you up and makes sure your skirt shuts the door. He says, listen, I have scoped every single restaurant in all the cities, and I found one where everywhere you look is just gold, gold, gold. And I have lots of money. If you even want, you can get whatever you want from the menu. If you want to get the most expensive thing on the menu, you can do so. I got lots of money. So he drives you to this fancy golden restaurant, and you slowly look through the menu, and you finally do. You get the most expensive thing on the menu, and you get the 21-piece chicken McNuggets, okay? And then you finish up your meal, getting ready to leave that beautiful golden restaurant. And he's starting to drive you back home, but he takes a right turn, then a left turn, and two more left turns. Next thing you know, you're like in the middle of the country, you know? There's nothing but you and grass and fences and cows. And he pulls the car over off the side of the road, puts it in park, and then he does the old yawn trick, you know? He's got you. What do you do? First of all, you should never be in that situation, okay? You really shouldn't. Go in groups of four or five. Go in groups of 50. Do whatever you need to, okay, to stay pure. But what do you do if you're in a car and all of a sudden? So here's three. This is a little extra, okay? Here's three simple ways to say no. He puts his arm around you, starts to pull you in. Now, you be sweet. You be kind. You look at him, say, tonight, if tonight you, thank you for the McNuggets. If tonight you start to make out with me, I'm going to tell my dad. If you got a big dad, that is great, okay? That one doesn't work. He starts to pull you in, and you just kind of look at him, and you take your hand, cup it around your mouth, and you blow real soft. You go right towards his ear and these little hairs in the back of his neck, and he's freaking out, and he leans in closer, and you go, no! Sometimes they understand that, too. I just blew the mic out. Okay, sometimes they know that, too. If neither one of those two work, you can always try number three. You're in the car. He reaches his hand over. He puts on your leg. You say, wait, stop. You can't touch me. Why? Because this is not my body. Oh, you just beam in here. What do you mean it's not your body? You say, I'm a Christian. I've been bought with a price. And so if you want to make out with my body, you got to ask God. I don't think the guy's going to get down on one knee and say, Lord, tonight. I don't think he's going to do that, okay? Now we laugh. But why? Why is it so important to wait until marriage? Because God says so. God created you. Wants you to have a wonderful, blessed, holy life. And marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is not, sex is not dirty inside the confines of marriage. But get the rest of whoremongers and adulterers. Say the last three words with me. God will judge. A whoremonger is somebody that's addicted to sex. It usually starts online and continues in life. I promise you, girls, promise you, you don't want to live that way. Always fearing him leaving you. Scared to death of what he's watching online, and it's a miserable, miserable way to live. Adulterers are those who refuse to be committed. And if they don't want to save themselves for you before marriage, they're not going to do it after marriage. God wants the best for your life. You know, why is it important to wait until marriage to be involved physically? This should be enough. Let me very quickly, as we have time, give you a couple. Number two, because you lose trust in friendship. Good relationships are not built on the physical. Marriage is not like this 50-year-long kiss that you come up for air on the weekends, okay? That's not what it is. That's only part of marriage. Don't marry somebody you think you can live with. Marry the one person you cannot live without. Marry your best friend. You want to be friends. Amber and I have been married now, get this, for over 40 years. And it's been a joy. I remember on our 25th anniversary, I want to do something real special because we always go to Walmart and get anniversary cards, 40% off. But after 25 years, I thought I wanted to show this is really important to me. So what we did is we went to a Hallmark store. Now, boy, they're expensive. Anyway, Hallmark stores are different than Walmart. But guys look at cards different than girls. When girls go into a Hallmark store and look at cards, they go like this. Oh, isn't this sweet? Oh. Not guys. They pick them, turn them around, look at the little black numbers in the bottom. 485. Man, and two of these I could do Outback. I don't understand this, you know. So I couldn't find just one card to say what I really wanted to say. And I found out Amber couldn't either. I got two cards for Amber. We met in the back of the Hallmark store, traded cards, read them, gave each other a great big hug, went back to the card rack, put them back in, and left the store, okay? You say, you're nuts. Oh, we've had more fun when the kids were with us before they grew up and left. We kept a little Tupperware box in the back seat, underneath the seat, and it had four pair of glasses in it. But they're really cool because they had this big nose with eyebrows, you know, and mustache and all. And all four of us would put them on, drive down the interstate, and people would go by, they'd back up just to be able to see us. You know, have fun, put those glasses on, go to Wendy's drive-thru. It really is fun. Again, marry the person you want to spend your life. Number three, because you intensify your struggle to stay pure. We believe this foolishness just one time, and I'll never ask you again. That's not even the way it was intended to be. You say, Rand, I know when to stop. God never intended for it to stop. He never intended for it to start until it was a righteous, holy thing in the confines of marriage. You can't trust your flesh, guys, because it takes control. And don't believe that this will just make it somehow easier to know. Every time you say yes, it's much harder to say no the next time. Every time you say no, the less you'll ever be asked to be involved. Number four, you feel like trash. This has nothing to do with a low self-image. And again, I'm your friend. My life is teens. And you guys live in a crazy world today where you can grab that stupid phone and it's so easy to snap pictures. Girls, please. If any guy ever hints to you or asks you to take a picture of a body part and send it to him, you tell your dad, you tell the National Guard, you tell somebody right away, okay? He doesn't love you. And I've had to counsel way too many. A couple girls that, what happens is this, you send a picture, and then for whatever reason they get mad or whatever, then they take that picture and send it to all their friends. And then you almost like want to commit suicide because you feel so embarrassed and feel like trash. You can choose your sin, guys, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin because of the possibility of pregnancy. Say, we got you beat on this one, Rand. We can go 4 miles either direction and find a clinic or a doctor that will deal with all this stuff. Oh, really? Have you ever thought about the consequences of an unplanned pregnancy? Contemplating abortion, embarrassment, humiliation, devastation. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your mom and dad. They raised you to be pure, to love God, and now all of a sudden, you're like 17, you're in the kitchen on Saturday morning, you're waiting for dad to come down the steps, and he says, what's wrong? And you start crying, you just say, Daddy, I'm pregnant, and I don't know what to do. You might as well take your hand, reach inside, grab a hold of his heart, and rip it out of him, because you will hurt him that much. You wanted a big wedding, but because of the embarrassment of the situation, it's his folks and your folks, you and him in the living room. You really wanted to go to college, but you got a kid to raise. Wow. But what about the abortion? Is abortion sin, yes or no? Yes. We have two wonderful kids. They're grown with their own kids. We have three in heaven. We had two miscarriages and one little boy that died at birth. And I remember standing in the hospital holding this little guy, five fingers in both hands and feet and toes, and I remember just thinking, Lord, I'd love to have this little guy. And thousands of teens, just because they're selfish, are killing these babies. I don't understand it. I still don't understand it. I really don't. That's the number of what we call STDs, or sexually transmitted diseases, reported every day. Not every month and every year. Nobody likes to talk about this stuff. And you hear a little bit about AIDS, but nobody talks about syphilis and gonorrhea and herpes. We have consistent doctor's visits and hospital visits. Some of them you have to be on antibiotics the rest of your life. Some of them actually cause sterility. So later on when you want to have kids, you can't. I'm telling you, teens, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. As we close, what can we do to stay pure? Number one, clean up your mind. Cast down imaginations, things you imagine, think about. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Girls, if you have a guy that insists on being involved physically on every day, you can mark it down, what he's thinking when he's by himself, where he goes online, and what he's watching. Because if it never starts up here in the mind, it will never come out in your life. Remember, what you're thinking today, you're becoming tomorrow. Cut out movies, rock videos. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. See, Rand, I'm not doing it. I hate to work at them that turn aside. It's not just me. I don't want anybody to ruin their life in sin. And it'll never cleave to me. It'll never cling to me. I refuse to have this trash totally consume my life. Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You guys can do this. My son was like 8th grade. Came home from a service at camp. He said, Dad, I made a decision. I did you, buddy. What's that? I promised God I would never kiss a girl until my wedding day. I said, that's sweet, buddy. And as he got older, I explained the Bible doesn't teach that. But that's an incredible, wonderful way to stay and be very, very careful, okay? I remember when he came to his wedding, my daughter said, Dad, please, please don't do Josh's wedding. You're going to ruin it for everybody. I do. I cry. I do. I get choked up at supermarket openings, you know, and I just... So I did. I just worked real hard and prayed, and the wedding, it was a Christmas wedding. Everything was gorgeous. They had a quintet, string quintet. Trista's coming down the aisle, weeping and crying. And I'm swallowing and all this. And I did pretty good. I never started crying. And then in the middle of the service, I got to say something that I was always looking forward to say. And it was after doing the vows and pronouncing them man and wife, I said, Josh, you may now, and then I added a word, finally, kiss your bride. Now, if you've ever watched Princess Bride, of all the kisses in the world, there's 5 that are okay. That's a joy. And that's wise. Don't throw these wonderful, joyful times out the window. No lust. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Remember, it's not how far can I go, but how pure can I be. Keep up your guard. Don't think I can handle it. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed. Be careful lest you fall. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Okay, let's time warp. I'll give you 20 years. You're a young mom, you're a young dad. Your 13-year-old son or daughter walks into your bedroom one night and says, hey, mom, hey, dad, were you a virgin when you got married? And you're able to say, sit down at the end of my bed. And let me tell you about one of the most wonderful love stories that's ever been written. No dark chapters with regret and ugliness and sin. Just chapter after chapter after chapter of pleasing God with patience and purity. You guys can write a love story that pleases God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Quick question. With your heads bowed, how many would say, Rand, there's something I've never done. Personally, I've never ever sat down and written out my own Bible dating standards. The kind of girl I'll date, the kind of guy I'll date. I've never done that, but by God's grace, within the next couple weeks, hopefully before the new year, get a little time off at Christmas, I will sit down with my Bible and a notepad. I'll talk to some friends or my youth pastor, and I'll write down the standards that I will insist on. I'll write down the standards that please God, that will protect me, help me stay pure, and help me not make foolish decisions and just settling for anyone, but finding a guy that pleases God. I've never done that before, but I know I need to. Pray, Rand, for me as you close, that I would follow through with that. Can I see your hands real high? Raise them up real high. That's cool. That's wonderful. Hope you get a chance. You can put them down. I hope you get a chance even to share that with your leaders. Number two, I don't want you to raise your hands for this, okay? Some of you are sitting here feeling really weird, convicted, dirty. You say, Rand, I've already messed up. Okay. We have the most loving, forgiving God. He is, I promise you. Now, you have some regrets. I wish somehow I could go and change the time and go back and change. I can't. And I can't take away your regrets, but I can emphasize that you can go before your holy God and agree with him about your sin, ask him to forgive you, and he will. But then he'll tell you, like he told the immoral woman in the Bible, you're forgiven, now go and sin no more. Number three, if you're dating someone right now, and you are right now, presently, physically involved with that person, if you have a heart for God and a love for that boy or girl, break up. It's not going to get better by itself. If you're physically involved, you break up, say, let's just put like 6 months between us here, okay? Let's grow in our love for the Lord, our ability to say no. We don't want to look back and have all these regrets. Now, that's between you and God, okay? My prayer is that you'd never get in that situation, but if you are, you show that individual that you love them enough to be willing to break up with them. Father, we're studying purity today, and as you know, we live in a very impure world. I feel for these guys, these teens. They can't watch a ball game or go online without this stuff being thrown in their face. So I pray, Lord, first of all, for many that raise their hands about writing their standards, will you please help them to follow through with that and write them out, and then give them the divine power and grace and enablement to follow through with those decisions. Then, Lord, I also pray that you would help those who have sinned, not just to ask you for forgiveness, but to trust you that you are a forgiving God, that they can put that behind themselves, that they would not bring them up to themselves or to you others again. Help them to understand your forgiveness and how freeing it really, really is. And then, Lord, for those who are in the midst of a situation that's not best, would you help them to have the courage to do what is right? I'm just asking you, God, would you please help these teens write a love story that they would love to share with their kids someday? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.